Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Pulp and Paper Radio International, the first place to hear the latest in worldwide pulp and paper news. We are coming to you from Duluth, Georgia, in the United States.
Afternoon, and welcome to the third show in an ongoing periodic series on housekeeping. I am Jim Thompson, your host. This one is brought to you with only two commercial breaks. If you wish to call in, our number is 888-342-0408. That's 888-342-0408. This episode takes a slightly different approach than the previous ones in this series. We are talking today to Linda Robertson, principal at International Microbial Associates in St. Charles, Illinois. Linda wrote an article entitled, What's That Funny Smell?, which is currently on Pulp and Paper, the Pulp and Paper Expertise page of Nip Impressions. We thought it would be a good idea to allow Linda a chance to share more details on this. Welcome, Linda.
Thank you, Jim.
I was looking in your article, and I came across a word, and I think I know how to pronounce it, but what the heck is it? It is right near the beginning. It's organoleptic. What the heck is organoleptic, and what do we need to know about that?
Well, the sense of smell and taste are so closely tied together that they came up with this great word called organoleptic, which deals with taste and odor issues. And if you're making a grade of paper that is going to be for tea bags or milk or other things, or even cigarette paper, you have to have control so that you don't have bad tasting and smelling things. And that's where organoleptic comes from.
All right. What are some examples of taste and odor issues that we can have in paper?
Well, many people think that all the problems are caused by microbes, bacteria, and fungi, but there's a wide variety of things that cause odor. And quite often these are mixed together. And if we have a case where a mill was making a fish wrap and they had a medicinal odor, and that was tied to chlorine, which was used at extremely high levels in this particular mill, reacting with lignin, and they ended up with this taste and odor issue that caused problems. Other things would be an amine or fishy smell that might come from a cigarette paper that used in various amine products in the additives.
So we need the fishy smell paper where we're going to wrap the fish, I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, it still can a medicinal smell. Another one that's very common is high quality chocolates.
Sure.
They, if you use a wood, a pulp with a wood resin, you may have auto oxidation of these resins, and they'll give sharp pungent, which would be butanol, octanol, which is citrusy, sweet, and fruity, or even a rancid green smell and taste. And you don't want that in your chocolates.
Uh-huh. I see also on your list you've got silk ties and lingerie that stink after storage in a recycled paperboard box. How does that all work?
Oh, that's a favorite one. What happens is, especially with wood water system closure, where you have the mill completely closed with zero effluent, or you're taking material back off the system, you will get the growth, rapid growth of anaerobic bacteria, and they produce various odors like butyric acid, which smells like rancid butter, acetic acid, vinegar. Propionic, which would be a Swiss cheese smell, valeric, which smells like dirty socks and manure. And believe me, you do not want to package material in that. Silk will pick up those odors and hang on to them. And so those are some issues. And what happens is that people think that as long as they don't have deposits, they aren't going to have a problem. But odors and visible deposition are two different things.
Okay. I see here also early on in your article you say that, you know, sometimes the things that we use to try to kill the odors, it seems like have odors of their own.
Well, that's right. And some cases the biocides, if they're overused or used at high levels or put in incorrectly, they can impart a sulfur odor depending on the type of biocide. So you've got to be very careful with what you're doing that with that. Another thing that can happen is that I was in a mill down in Venezuela, a tissue mill, and they were trying to mask the lovely vomit acidic microbial odors, the VFA, volatile fatty acids, with a perfume. And the perfume wasn't a particularly pleasant one, and the mixture was quite stunning, to say the least.
Uh-huh. Now, were they doing that in the paper machine?
They were doing that in the in the paper machine.
Really?
And they were putting that the perfumes in to give the fragrance to that tissue.
Because my experience in tissue making, of course, there's a perfume imparted, but it usually is put in the glue that is used to make the core tubes, and then when the package is wrapped, that perfume scatters out into the tissue. That's interesting. They were trying to hide it by going to the paper machine.
Right. It was a zero effluent mill, and they had, because of the temperatures, they had outdoor clarifiers, and then they would bring that fluid back in. And those outdoor clarifiers were basically giant anaerobic fermenters.
Wow. Okay.
And other cases, newsprint is one where it actually won't smell too bad when you make the paper and it's not noticeable. But then if it's shipped in a rail car and baking in the sun during that transit period, when you open it back up, you can get some really stunning aromas.
Of course, if you have ship rail cars in warm climates or humid climates, I'm sure that doesn't help.
No, it doesn't.
Okay. We're going to take a break right here, but when we come back, I want to ask you about how we find odors. And so if you'll be thinking about that, we're going to take a brief break and come back and work on that.
Okay.
Bright is the leader in high-density extruders for your wet waste problems. Located in Hopkins, Michigan, USA, Bright has a solution to dewater your sludge. You can find them online at SeaBrightProducts.com. That's SeaBrightProducts.com. Or telephone 269-793-7183. That's 269-793-7183. Tell them you heard about them on Pulp and Paper Radio International. ESCO traces its history back to 1939. ESCO knows everything there is to know about Dr. Blades, Dr. Blade holders, and complete doctoring systems. They are located in modern facilities in Green Bay, Wisconsin. You can learn more at www.escoincorporated.com. That's www.escoincorporated.com. Or, if you prefer, phone them at 1-920-494-3480. That's 1-920-494-3480. 3480. Tell them you heard about them on Pulp and Paper Radio International.
Do you need to maximize your mixing capabilities? Philadelphia Mixing Solutions mixer drives are specially designed to handle the rigors of mixing for the pulp and paper industry. With proven technologies for top entry and aeration, our total systems approach provides cost-effective solutions to maximize stock dispersion and degassing. For more information on our mixer and aeration products, contact us today at 717-832-2800 or philamixers.com.
Well, we're back, and we, right before the break, asked Linda to be thinking about how you find odors. That looks like a pretty formidable task. So, Linda, tell us about that.
Well, odors are interesting because trying to get a description of the odor is something that's very, very important. And then if you start trying to figure out where it may have started, that can be very difficult. And tracing it exactly can be quite expensive. While not as sensitive as a dog, the human nose is actually an excellent odor detector.
Well,
particularly if they haven't been hanging around the pulp mill.
All right. Go ahead.
Oh, and by the way, Jim, they have discovered that women can smell things better than men.
They're good at many things that we can't do. That's not a new surprise. Go ahead.
But anyway, what you do is try to get a description of that odor. And some cues may come in because you may have something that's grassy or musty or so on. And if you're an odor consultant, those particular cues can be very helpful. You walk around the mill and try to find where some stinky areas might be. And and what can be a problem is that you can have odors that may be reported months after the paper was manufactured. In some cases, I've gone around and checked out the reels, trying to, you know, check retains and trying to trace things. You may go through and want to put the problem complaint materials into a jar and then seal them up with a glass jar with a foil, a lid, and try to get that to emit. I've run into mills where people are rubbing two pieces of paper together to create friction and heat, and then they try to smell it and see if there is an issue. But there is a lot of variation in different people in how they can detect odors.
When I think about it and I go into many labs, I've never seen an odor detector in a lab.
Well, they have things called electronic noses.
Oh, do they?
Yes, they do. They're e-noses, and you actually train them to look for particular odors. And they have one that actually is in the shape of a giant nose. And if you're in this area, you have to have a good sense of humor anyway.
Right.
Gas chromatographs are very good and useful, but again, determining what is that spike and what is that offensive material is labor-intensive. And there is a thing that with perfumers, because they have high, medium, and bottom notes, and all these things come together to form a fragrance. Well, the same kind of thing can happen when you're in a paper mill and you have various materials that all may be coming together. And they're going to give you something that smells like a wet dog. You know, I'm not even sure what that particular characteristic is, but, you know, that may be your complaint.
Now, another area of odor concern, of course, is in the neighborhoods around a paper mill. I've almost come to the conclusion that that some people are just psychosomatic. They think they drive by a paper mill and they smell something, and usually I find that they've driven by a recycled mill, and the odor that they remember is the one from when they were a child and drove by a Kraft pulp mill. Do you get any complaints, or do you see anything with people imagining odors?
You do have issues with imagining odors, and that is a problem. And it's funny because I usually say that, oh, I work in the paper industry, and they say, oh, that smells bad. And I said, no, it's not the machines. But some of the aromas you can get if you have a lot of anaerobic activity. Is that as that paper comes across the dryer, you may get these volatile organic or volatile fatty acids, the baby puke and so on smell coming over.
Mm-hmm.
They don't come down right near the machine, near the mill, but they may drift some distance off and then come down. And there was a mill in Australia that actually was in an isolated area. They then sold the land off to some fairly expensive homes that were being built. And then they also closed their water system and had long dwell times in the clarifiers. And they were actually having very valid odor complaints.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be careful with water system closure and reducing areas where anaerobic bacteria can proliferate, particularly in water systems that may now be oversized.
Of course, you and I know from experience working on a project together a number of years ago that microbiological activity can create dangerous conditions and explosions. Is there anything unique or any identifiers that just anyone walking around could say, uh-oh, I smell that, and we ought to be looking for some problem? I mean, I know if I smell gasoline, I know what that smells like, and of course, that's not the kind of thing we're talking about here. But is there any kind of odors that we could have in a mill that we should say, that's an imminent safety problem, and we better check that out?
Well, if you're smelling hydrogen sulfide, which is the aroma of rotten eggs,
mm-hmm.
You really should look into what else may be going on. It may be something as simple as disturbed deposits or something out in wastewater, but you can have serious problems. Hydrogen sulfide is both toxic and explosive. And the nice thing about hydrogen sulfide is that you can detect it. Hydrogen gas, however, is very, very explosive, and it's odorless. But if you start smelling any hydrogen sulfide, I would recommend that they start doing some LEL, lower explosive limit testing,
mm-hmm.
to make sure that they have that they're not running into safety issues.
Is there anything that can be done in a mill's safety program or, say, a monthly safety meeting to train people so that we've got all those highly tuned noses out there watching out for these kinds of dangers?
Well, go ahead and, people could start making marks on where, if they're detecting them, and then start doing the LEL testing and recording
mm-hmm.
it. I saw a case of one mill where they were several hundred ppms and hydrogen sulfide. Other cases where the explosive gas limit was up into that range. So those are things that you can do. And I would say that any time that you start reducing the biocides, closing your water systems, seriously start to do some of these other tests for that. But hydrogen sulfide is quite distinctive, and a human nose, what's really interesting about it is that if you can detect it, you're probably okay. You might get into levels that are going to give you a headache, but when you can no longer smell hydrogen sulfide, you're getting into very dangerous levels, and it gets to a point where the nose cannot detect it.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, so I guess so strong that it's beyond detection.
It's beyond detection, and I think your nose goes into fatigue.
Wow, that's very interesting. We've got to take one more break, but when we come back, I noticed that you have a nice long list of likely areas of biological odors in your article, and those might be places where people should be looking on a regular basis. I know in my own life, starch kitchens are places that are always been a stinky place as far as I've been concerned, but we'll discuss those areas after our last break, and we'll do that right now.
Mike Ryan of Process Labs knows rotary kilns and recosticizing. Process Labs services are in demand around the world. You can find them online at www.processlaboratories.com or call them at 1-740-775-5520. That's 1-740-775-5520. Tell them you heard about them on Pulp and Paper Radio International. If you are a sole practitioner consultant, you may wish to join the Consultant Connection. This is more than just marketing training and advertising. We have a complete program to enhance your business. You receive favorable listings on the Papa Italo supplier directory. And only Consultant Connection members can supply articles to NIP Impressions' new Pulp and Paper Expertise page. For more information, visit the top right column on NIP Impressions. That's www.nipimpressions.com. Or call Jim Thompson at 678-206-6010. That's 678-206-6010. Tell them you heard about them on Pulp and Paper Radio International.
OpTest is a fantastic supplier of high-quality, innovative instruments for the Pulp and Paper Laboratory. You can see their full line at www.optest.com. They are located in beautiful Hawkesbury, Ontario, Canada. Reach them at 613-632-5169. That's 613-632-5169. Or again, their website, www.optest.com. Tell them you heard about them on Pulp and Paper Radio International.
And we're back with Linda. Linda, we said before the break we would talk about the areas of biological odors. Can you enlighten us on those things?
Well, the biological odors there's a group of them that would be the volatile fatty acids, and then we have things that are more musty and putrid smelling, as well as that hydrogen sulfide. Starch is my favorite place to start because it is one of the first places you look. As you mentioned, it can be very, very stinky. And starch is probably the most abused additive in the machine. People pay for very good starch, and then they will mix it up with water that's not of good quality or other and not preserve it as it's being held. And you get the yeasty alcohol odors with yeast fermentation. You can get just plain putrid, horrible odors from these other materials. And if you put it into the wet end, it'll end up in your machine if you put it back around in broke. But it's a microbe's favorite food.
Uh-huh.
Protein is another thing that can be added, and that's not usually found too often in coatings, but if you do, it will give you putrescine and cadaverine as your signature odors, as well as hydrogen sulfide. Clay and fillers will give acid odors and a hydrogen sulfide odor. The coatings then will become a mixture of all of these. And then stock systems, particularly oversized broke chests, if they've been run for a while at high levels, they can be an issue.
You said oversized broke chests?
Oversized broke chests, especially with no recirculation.
Mm-hmm.
And as I mentioned before with clarifiers, microbiologists, I know engineers like giant chests because they like that long holding time and don't have to worry about being down at the pulp mill, but basically they're beautifully configured giant anaerobic fermenters for microbes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And then another thing that can happen that people are becoming more aware of, it seems to be happening more, is musty odors like chloranisols and geosmin. And these will give a really, really foul odor at low levels, like 9 nanograms per liter. Will give this musty money, the odor of methyl isoborneol. And these are just really nasty things. And they're made by cyanobacteria and certain other bacteria and fungi.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you will have a case that incoming water, particularly in the summer, will have this musty odor. And the problem is that you really can't remove it by killing the organism because it's already there and formed. And then by killing the organism, you even release more of it.
You just have a dead body, not just a stinky body.
That's right. You have that. And it's an issue, particularly water filters can be in that. And I actually had one case where a mill was suffering some really serious problems, and I wandered around and was literally sticking my nose in everywhere. And we isolated it to a particular water filter, and that they just weren't changing very often. And it was a very, very high-quality product. So those are some interesting things that happen.
All right. I see these truckloads of recycled or OCC driving down the highway and getting rained on and everything else slopping up on them. If you had any cases where the odor is brought in by, the OCC or other recycled paper like that?
Sure, and that can happen when you're seeing that. If it's wet and then partially dries out, you'll get fungal growth the way you do from wet lap that's been stored too long, particularly recycled wet lap. You can also get, if it's wet enough, again, growth particularly in paper that's been coated, so you have that extra starch in there. And that can be a beautiful stew of, and you then pulp it, and you're seeding your entire system with very high levels of bacteria and fungi that you may not have enough resources built into that system to respond quickly and suppress the growth throughout the entire system.
Well, Linda, this has been very, very interesting, and it'll be a great supplement to your article. In fact, we'll put a link to this on the article itself for those that that read the article. I want to give you about a minute or so to make sure that everybody knows how to reach you. And so if you want to tell us how people can do that, please take a minute or so to do that.
Okay. Well, I have a consulting service, International Microbial Associates, and you can reach me at linda@imicrobial.com. And that is linda@imicrobial.com. And my phone is 630-640-1274.
All right, that's great. Anything else?
No, that's it.
All right, and of course, Linda's a member of our Consulting Connection group, and so you can find her about anywhere around Nip Impressions. That's nipimpressions.com, and you'll find her article and other ways to reach her there. I want to thank you today, Linda, for giving us even further insight into something that sometimes we laugh about but is really a very, very serious and costly matter. And again, thank you for joining us today, and thank you, listeners. We appreciate all of your support.
Thank you.
Any last words? Is that it?
Well, as I mentioned, I work with odor and slime and odor, all the glamour areas of the paper industry.
All right.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye, Jim.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to our show today. Please check out our sponsors at tinyurl.com/greatsponsors. That's tinyurl.com/greatsponsors. We appreciate your support. Make sure you are always reading the highest-ranked e-newsletters in the worldwide pulp and paper industry. That would be globalpapermoney.com and nipimpressions.com. This program has been produced by Pulp and Paper Radio International, a subsidiary of Papery Tallow Publications, Duluth, Georgia, in the United States. Copyright 2012, all rights reserved. And remember, whatever you do, do it safely. We'll be talking to you soon.